I will put my trust in Jesus as I lay upon his breast. I will take my comfort from him. I will find in him sweet rest. For there is no other fountain I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. All pain will leave his aching body as his sweet healing flows. Demons tremble at his presence, and Jesus' name they have to go. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. And then one morning in that city I will rise to sleep no more. In God's presence live forever. All sin and death will then be o'er. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. Oh, there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied.
There is an unseen hand
that leads me ways I cannot see. While going down this world of woe, this hand that leads me as I go. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary
land. And some sweet
day I'll reach that serene, still guided by the unseen hand. This hand has led through shadows dear,
and while it leads, I have no fear.
I know it will lead me to that home where sin or sorrow e'er can roam. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strain, still guided by the unseen hand. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strain I'll praise him for his guiding hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand.
When the man of Galilee
hung upon a cruel tree.
He was dying for sinners like me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground,
there was one drop he shed just for me.
Just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground. There was one drop he shed just for me.
When they pierced his precious side, oh forgive them now, he cried.
There was pardon extended to me, as the blood and water came. Glory to his precious name. And that one drop he shed just for me.
Just for me and the sins of my soul.
Just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground.
There was one drop he shed just for me.
When with all the saints I stand over in that happy land, and its beauties I'm able to see, as I look upon his face, I shall thank him for his grace. And that one drop he shed just for me,
just for me and the sins of my soul,
just to cleanse me and make me whole.
There was pardon extended to me,
as the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground.
There was one drop he shed just for me.
In times like these, you need a Savior.
In times like these, you need an anchor.
Be very sure,
be very sure.
Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
This rock is Jesus,
yes, he's the one.
This rock is Jesus,
the only one.
Be very sure,
be very sure.
Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
In times like these,
you need a Bible.
In times like these,
oh, be not idle.
Be very sure,
be very sure.
Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
This rock is Jesus,
yes, he's the one.
This rock is Jesus,
the only one.
Be very sure,
be very sure.
Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
In times like these,
I had a Savior.
In times like these,
I have an anchor.
I'm very sure,
I'm very sure.
My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
This rock is Jesus,
yes, he's the one.
This rock is Jesus,
the only one.
Be very sure,
In times like these, you need the Bible. I tell you, if there's ever a time, you need the Bible. It's now. Well, that's the only thing that'll combat that charismatic spirit that's rampant in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a Christian. Everybody, Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody then to Jesus. But how about this word, you know? In times like these, you need the Bible.
It's really the thing, the difference
it's
is...
the Bible.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that that's the difference is... the people who are under Muhammad, they're called Islamists, right?
Yeah.
They're called Islams. And people who are under, in the realm of Christianity, are called Christians. But there is a difference between a word Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, versus a Christian that's in name only. And they are called Christians. They have that right to that name because they fall under that category of believing. They believe in Jesus, but it's not word-based.
Yeah, do they believe in the word?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can be a Christian nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can say Jesus. Anybody can plan to be God, you know, godly, you know.
And that's why it is... in the Laodicea church age, where it says you're rich in need of nothing. Because in this church age, we have been given so much wealth, spiritual wealth and material wealth. It's not only material, it's also spiritual wealth that a lot of preachers have tapped into. Mm-hmm. And that's why they think they're rich and in need of nothing. We've got all the understanding we need. But it's not the intimacy that God requires for the true believers.
It's all about the word. Mm-hmm. I see all week I've been seeing how we got this camaraderie going with God and with Jesus and with the angels and with everybody that has put the word above their own everything, you know? The word is above everything.
Mm-hmm.
God has put his word above himself. He has word to put his word above his very name.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to think God is way out there, a big, humongous being, and that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot have this camaraderie going with him and Jesus if you think they're some kind of supernatural being.
Yeah.
They put themselves under that word. That's where you find that camaraderie, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Oh, big time. They have one common denominator,
yeah.
The word.
Yeah. God has put his word above his name. Jesus is called the word of God. All these angels, it's all got to do with that word.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing it all week. How, when you see that, how close and intimate you're drawn to God and to Jesus and to the angels and to the patriots that have gone on. You're all one with them because they also put that word above their own reputation, above their own name. And you kind of, all of a sudden, I'm one with them.
Yeah.
Why? Because I try my best to do the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you can identify with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus can be anything nowadays, man alone. You watch these preachers on TV and even that Clark thing yesterday. Yeah, got preachers up there, a dime a dozen, and they preach good. But they're not connected to that heavenly bind. They're not connected with those seven church age angelic messengers, the seven stars. You talk to them about it, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. But yet, to us, it's the essence of life.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it could be anything. Like, you watch them. Yeah, they all preach. They all got something to say. And they can preach pretty good.
That's what Jesus prayed in John 17. I have given them thy word. And then he goes on to say, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they might may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that thou that will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So that's how we become one with him, is through the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. In times like these, you need the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the proper interpretation of the Bible. Everybody's got the Bible, but they get interpreted it wrong. You gotta go back to those seven stars. That's how I'm gonna communicate with mankind throughout the grace age. It's through these seven stars, these seven angelic messengers. Anything other than that, eventually you will veer off.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, you know, that this thing, this is really not our chapter.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing, they'll end up on that sea of glass place.
Mm-hmm.
I believe some of them are born again. And God has a place for them, but they'll not be in this bridal chamber where it's an intimacy with the Word of God.
See, everybody wants a revival. But the revival came when you look back at Azusa Street, Topeka, Kansas, and Brother Brenham, that was the revival that God had.
For Laodicea.
Now, the God gave a revival. Now, what they have is just preparing them. That's all I can always say is the rallies that Trump had was just preparing the American people for what God has in store for America, and that is George Washington's vision. I see no other way out, because when God turns the table and exposes all this, and he will, because he keeps things, a lid on things, until things manifest itself. And then once things are manifested, then he can take the lid off and judgment sets in. He can't do it when things are hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So I see no other way out of it. And God is a God of war. And I know they're trying to, they don't want no civil war. They're saying that like the Chinese and all these other countries, Russia, are waiting for America to fall into that trap of having a civil war. And that's where they can take over. But and that's how Catholicism came into America, is through that civil war, right? They find a weak point and then they come into the country. Even when, after the World War II, they came in through the CIA. The CIA got founded, and it's a corrupt...
In the UN.
And it's a corrupt entity. And that's the same way. They're scared that the civil war will be a takeover for communism and all this. But when we look at George Washington's vision, it's impossible for that to happen, because it's got the foundation of the Constitution, and the Republic will stand. So when you look at that, and they claim that they're scared that with the Civil War that they're going to have an invasion, if it would not have been for the mandate that you always talk about, biblical mandate, it would be possible, but it's utterly impossible for that to happen.
It's all driven by spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in the Second World War and the European world, they don't have the Constitution. This Constitution was ordained in heaven and was given to the American founders. As that angel said to George Washington, we're creating a country where people from all over the world can come and worship God and country. And that Constitution, that U.S. government, is going to protect them to do just exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that government, that's what we're raising up here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where else in the world will you find a government that'll let people worship God and country?
Mm-hmm.
It's all power struggle. But here the constitutionists is what does it. Mm-hmm. They can't type that. They can't override.
No, they cannot do that. Because, Brother Bremen always said that Canada and U.S. are twins. They're twins. God sees it as a whole.
Yeah, it's got a foundation. Yes. The rest don't have a foundation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Abram was looking for a city, his foundation. Yeah. And a foundation, yeah, he talks about.
That's right.
His foundation, his builder is God. Mm-hmm. And that was... that's what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And God made a covenant with him. He made a promise. You can read over it so easily when God told him to take
a heifer,
divide it up and other stuff, and then he divided it up, and that's how they made a covenant back then. It's like today we do a handshake, but that was a covenant that God made with Abraham, and he told him all the borders that he's going, all the land that he is going to promise to Abraham and his descendant. And that's what Israel's promise is. All the other people, the Muslims and all, they can scream and holler all they want. That's not going to change.
Yeah, it's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
These Muslims are driven by a spirit. Well,
and even these
God will vanish that spirit. But still the devil's aim to control the world. Mm-hmm. Well, he uses the Muslims and all these false religions. But God comes on the scene and he looks at the mandate that he put the word above his name, and they don't have one here. And then what he does, he just famishes all these religions. Mm-hmm. The Bible says so.
Yeah.
He famished the gods. Well, the gods are the religions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hole in a beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John's eye descending from heaven when Patmos and exiles he trod. Its high mass of walls of jasper, the city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. No sin is allowed in that city, no nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter, no creep on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrow and cares are forgotten, no tempters are there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt or destroy. 'Cause in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for that white city, John saw coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moisten the eye. There's no disappointments in heaven, no envy or strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy, they live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away. And soon I shall join their bright number, and dwell in eternity's day. They're saved now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. They reach that fair city of love. For then that bright city, pearly white city, I fortune, the harp, and the crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for that wise city that your song rings down. Who's 13? A country where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night shall never be, a city where no storm clouds ever gather. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder, enjoy the throne upon the glassy sea, to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. A place where there is no misunderstanding, and from all enmity and strife we're free. No unkind words to wrong the heart has spoken. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder, enjoying the throne upon the glassy sea, to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus before his image and our love's awfully, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne upon the glassy sea, to meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Yeah, we have a common denominator. That's the Word of God. Anybody can be Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can be God.
Mm-hmm.
But that Word, it's right in your face, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Accountable to that Word. Nobody wants it. Tell them. I know. Seen it all week. Times like these, you need the Bible. There again, you can make it say what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tie with these church age messengers.
That's right.
You got to tie it together with the message for your day.
Mm-hmm.
Now these messengers, they were uncompromising. They didn't go for that Trinity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them. That's what Brother Brennan tested them with. They didn't go for the Trinity. They saw the Godhead as it's written. That's what we see. We see the God as it is. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
we are going to
see the King.
No more crying there,
we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, we are going to see the King.
No more dying there,
we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, going to see the King.
You know where that scripture is? It's appointed to men once to die.
It is in Hebrews 9:27.
That's where there's something else. That is a point. Hebrews 9:27. That says here, this King James and this NIV. Just as people are designed to die once, and after that to face judgment. What does it say in yours?
And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Und wie den Menschen gesetzt ist, einmal zu sterben, danach aber das Gericht.
Es ist der Mensch gesetzt, einmal zu sterben, und hernach das Gericht. Heavenly Father, we just read your word. I just pray you'll help me say the things you put on my heart. I'm going to say them in such a way, Lord, that it'll become a reality. Most of all, Lord, I pray you give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's so much in that. It's appointed unto man once to die. Everybody that's born, the day's born, he's got an appointment with death.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sure shot. And then, after that, it's the judgment, and it's talking about the white throne judgment. If you just read that, then, and a lot of people, that's all they know in life, they're born, and then what they do, they go through life, and they end up, the judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ, they end up at the white throne judgment, mm-hmm. at the end of the millennium.
That's right.
Because they have not done whatever needs to be done. They have not, like in the Bible it says, but see, 2,000 years ago, something happened. There was that angel Gabriel that came to Mary and introduced the birth or the that they had that conversation with Mary.
The virgin birth.
And that is going to be, that would stop that scripture. It is appointed men unto that once, but after the judgment, that nullifies it. Then, if and only if you do what it says here, if you take John 3, for God so loved the world, but see, if that's all that was written in the Bible, it'd be a pretty sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But see, here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, that now that nullifies that. That's the only thing that short circuits that it's appointed unto man once to die. You still have to die. But then it goes into John 3:36, whoever believes on the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son shall not see life, for the wrath of God remains in him. And here it says somewhere, whoever has the Son will not come into judgment. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And here somewhere it says, whoever believes on him, as the scripture says, will not come into judgment. See, if you believe on the Son, as the scripture says, you have passed from death unto life. That scripture back there is nullified then. Well, here's one, John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Yeah, can you read it in the King James?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See, what I'm trying to say is that scripture back there, it is appointed unto men once to die and after that to judgment.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all there was, that'd be a pretty sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when Jesus came, he short-circuited that scripture. That scripture has no meaning if.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you do what it says, whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're not coming into that judgment. That,
yeah.
It's nullified.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to believe on Jesus Christ. And that hour, you know, at that hour, if you believe in Jesus, like Jesus said, he that believes on me, as the scripture says, has eternal life and will not come into judgment. And then he told that woman at the well, if you believe in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, I'll just read it. Sometimes you have it wrong. Okay, Jesus answered, that's John chapter 4, verse 13. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That was back then. He was talking to that woman right there, and all he was saying, if you believe in me and believe the words I tell you, that spring of living water will spring up within you,
mm-hmm.
and you have eternal life. It's I'm trying to focus in on something, that it's, when Jesus was here, he was that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you go back to the fall, right, and when God said to Eve, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So he was referring to Jesus, because, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then when you come to Abraham, and he said, through Abraham, by the faith that he had, that God promised a seed. And through that seed, and that's Jesus Christ, all nations will be blessed.
I'm trying to get something out. It's so deep. Yeah, what I'm trying to say is if that's all the scripture you had, it'd be a pretty sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, multitudes on that broad road, that is the scripture that pertains to most, I'd say 90% of the people.
Mm-hmm.
This is appointed unto men once to die,
mm-hmm.
but after this the judgment. But see, for me, I came to the age of accountability, and I was talking last week, I had to settle that Jesus thing. I had to settle, what am I going to do with this Jesus, with my sins? And for 2 years, I'm walking around almost like in a daze, like I'm scared of hell, you know? The scripture is there that says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And for 2 years, I've come to the age of accountability, and I'm ejected into this dimension
mm-hmm.
where, when I'm waking up at night, I think about hell. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to do all these things until one day I have to deal with this Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confronted with a decision here, and Jesus came by my way when I was about 23, 24 years old. And I know exactly the place. I know the 10 minutes after 10 in the evening. I remember the time, I remember the place when Jesus so sweetly mm-hmm. came in. How he took all that, and then that erased in my life, that scripture is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, I still have to die, but even that is going to be erased because I'm not going to die. I'm going to go in the rapture. I'm going to go. And that scripture, we shall not all sleep, that means die in the Lord, but we shall be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. Well, how do you know? Well, I do know. God already let me know.
Mm-hmm.
If, here's another thing, I'm going to get to that a little later on, but I want to hammer this home, is appointed unto men once to die, But after this, the judgment, the minute you accept Christ and believe his word, you're rejected into a different, you belong to a different sphere now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whoever believes on him will not come into condemnation,
mm-hmm.
but is passed from death unto life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that would be all there, if that would be all there would be to it, then you'd have a ticket to glory. One saved, all is saved.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, when I was about 24 years old, I was saved to the uttermost. But then there's other scriptures kicking in. Matthew 13, where it talks about the seed falling on stony ground and falling on, and the birds came and took it away. And see, there's more scriptures to this being saved. I don't believe in this one saved being one saved, always saved. There is conditions that you and I have to meet. Like he that endures to the end,
mm-hmm.
the saint shall be saved. So you gotta kick in another scripture that we must all appear before the judgment seat
mm-hmm.
of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now that judgment seat of Christ, that's for those that have been born again, that have accepted Jesus as their Savior.
Mm-hmm.
There is an accountability now. What am I going to do with my life as a Christian now? See, there's people that go into hell because they did not endure to the end. They were not faithful. They didn't do what God required of them when God saved them. When God took time out, he died on Calvary, and then he gave his life for their salvation. And they accepted that. But then, eventually, as time goes on, they became lukewarm, and they became cold and callous, and eventually, they became castaways, like Paul was saying. If I preach to you things, and I don't do them, I become a castaway. What is a castaway? A castaway is lost. Just face it. Like, at what time when...
Demas.
It was with Paul at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, as time went on, he began to love this world more than he loved the Lord. And see, that's where you and I have to fight on a day-to-day basis, that we not only say this, that we also do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be doers of the word,
mm-hmm.
not just hearers,
mm-hmm.
not just talkers, you know what I'm saying? That's where the danger comes in. That's what we've seen in our journey through this Brother Branham and this Brother Jackson thing. People at one time, they were really on fire for the Lord, and pretty soon they're back out in the world. Like it says back in Paul talks about, he is... the love of this world has taken his heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get to the point where just because now that we're saved, there's still even a bigger responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
See, back then, where it says, it is appointed unto the men once to die, but after this, the judgment, like I was saying, there's thousands of people going down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And up the road in their life, somewhere, the minute they're born, they're going to come face to face with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like once they reach the age of accountability,
mm-hmm.
they're going to come face to face, what did they do with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And then as they go down rejecting Jesus, and kicking the can down the road, somewhere up the road, they're going to bump right into that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Like the men once to die, and after that, the judgment. The judgment comes after the they go straight to hell, and then after the millennium they get in before the white throne judgment, and books wrote, and they're judged and they're thrown in the lake of fire. But see, once we have accepted the Lord, the saving grace of the Lord, we still have an accountability. We don't get a free ride, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the charismatic world will get you to believe. And now that you're saved, everything is hunky-dory, everything is good. Name it and claim it, kind of a Christianity thing.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's what I've been seeing all week. That's when the battle starts. That's why the Bible is written for this battle that is now ensuing. If this would be all a guy would have to do, he that believes on him, as the scripture says, will not come into judgment. But see, there's other scriptures that you have to tie together with.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying. Matthew 13, the seed falling on good ground, the seed falling on stony ground.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do now that you've developed the seed and it's in the, now you got to bring forth fruit, 36 and 100-fold. And we still have an accountability. Why do I have to fight like that? Why do I have to fight on a daily basis? Why can't I do what everybody else does?
Mm-hmm.
Just sit back and relax and belief as truth and think I'm getting a ticket to glory.
Yeah.
It don't work that way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish it would, but it doesn't. It's not that easy, you know. And I see a lot of people, they got their funerals and they bury them and they praise them to high heaven. Well, I don't know. Has he got a testimony? Mm-hmm. You don't really have a testimony. They don't really have a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this landmark episode when I was down there and the Lord challenged, you know, wanted me to say something there and to tell him because they let Tim McKay in to preach. Contrary to what Brother Jackson said.
Mm-hmm.
No respect for Brother Jackson. See, here's the thing. When I heard Brother Brennan, I knew there's what I've been looking for. And then when the Lord took me away from the magistrate to Brother Jackson, and I knew this is that thing that I've been longing, looking for. He was that message for my day.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Brennan was already gone when I found out. But then here's Brother Jackson, hands on. And he was, I recognized for who he was. He was that voice of that angel. And when he spoke, I have to respect that. And it wasn't just some fly-by-night speak. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just an ordinary person. It was that angel, he was portraying what that angel was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to have reverence and respect for what he was saying. Now, when he said that Tim McKay should not go anywhere to preach, then the landmarks had him over to preach, and that cut them off from this truth, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like it or not, that's exactly what happened. And then they somehow came in again without repenting, you know, without just kind of weaved in, because David Brown had told them to. And they kind of patched it up, kind of behind closed doors, but not up front. And the Lord began to deal with me. I got to address that situation down there. And I addressed it down there. And one by one, they stood up and denied that they knew anything about all this. Simply because, I'll tell you what I saw it yesterday, simply because they did not have a revelation of who Brother Jackson was.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a revelation. It says on this revelation, on the revelation I've been in my church.
Mm-hmm.
Not on something that you've been taught. And on this rock I'll build my church. The rock of revelation. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you had a revelation, Brother Jackson was, you wouldn't allow Tim McKay in to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, when I told them down there, then, well, it didn't go over too well. They all denied that they knew anything. And they lied, you know, in the presence of the Lord, they lied. So that's my version. Yeah, they buried him here last week, I think, last Friday, Oscar Landmark. And I was just thinking a while back, what did he do for his children? He really liked his children. He had a family thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But what did he really do for them? He didn't do nothing for them. When you really analyze, when you step back and analyze, what is left now for those children? Because when they got up one by one and denied, first he denied it, then one by one they all denied that they know anything, that brother, that Tim McKay wasn't supposed to go preach anywhere. And then when they did, I seen all their family. They were also going out to honor God. What has he done for those children? He hasn't done a thing. And they all praise him to high heaven, you know. But see, that's why you and I have to be so, especially me, because I got children. I got a total line. I got to do what God requires of me. And I fail him so often, sometimes I get faint in my heart. But it's the fight. And some people, they don't want to fight. And they think they get a ticket to glory. It's all about that charismatic thing. The charismatic spirit give you that idea, once you're saved, you're always saved.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when the fight starts. That's when the fight began. When the Lord saved me, I was a happy camper. Man, I thought this is everything. And then one after another, I run into some roadblocks. I run into some traps. And I had to repent, and I had to move on, and then I became into a backslidden state and kind of dead to the Lord. And then the Lord began to revive me again, and he said, tap me on the shoulder saying, I got some work for you to do, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the story, I've repeated it over and over again many times, how the Lord moved on me to go speak up, But see, that's the fight, you know, that continued on. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. I mean, it's a beautiful journey. But I wasn't a happy camper at the time, because the Bible says, "Die Trübsal die Zeit und Leid ist, dingt uns sich Freude zu sein." We don't think it joy when you first start the journey. But afterwards, when you come through the journey, you think back, oh man, what a glorious trip. And that's where you and I are at. And I know there's thousands of people, they believe this charismatic thing, once saved, always saved. But for myself, I got some scriptures to back up. And you were asking me the other day, is there such a thing as being taken out of the...
blooded out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
Blooded out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And all the thing that came to me when Paul said, I become a castaway.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you what to do, don't do it, I become a castaway. And eventually, God gives you an opportunity to repent. But if it becomes a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
then eventually you will be blooded out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Just that simple. How can he take you on when Paul said, if I don't do what I tell you to do, I become a castaway.
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm better than Paul? See, that's the treachery that you and I are in, where I'm at. I think we're slippery slope, but I gotta live what I preach, you know. I gotta do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I become a castaway. I become like Paul said. If I don't do it, I become a castaway. And it says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. And then when you just hear it and not do it, then you deceive yourself, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's the only one you're deceiving.
Mm-hmm. Self-deception, that's the worst of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to... That scripture is appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do nothing about your salvation, you will bump right into that once to die.
Mm-hmm.
You will die. And then the judgment seat, not the judgment seat of Christ, but
the great white throne
judgment. The great white throne judgment. You'll bump right into it.
Yeah, that's where everybody would have been headed for if God did not promise us a seed.
Mm-hmm.
In the garden there, when they fell and made a promise with Abraham, when he made a covenant with him, he passed through a furnace, a smoking furnace.
Yeah.
That's where our destiny would be. That great white throne judgment and the furnace of eternal judgment. But he made a promise to Abraham, a covenant. And through thy seed, all nations will be blessed. And that's that promise seed that he, down through time, you can follow the genealogy of Jesus, and there he promised, there is that promised seed that he promised that will make right the sin of man, and that we can escape the judgment. We can have eternal life if we endure to the end and follow the word of God and line up ourselves with the word of God, and wash ourselves daily with the word of God, so that when the time comes, that when we will stand before God, we will line up with the scripture and not face judgment.
Yeah, then, like I was saying, you bump right into it. And you know, they sing that song, "Wait a little longer, please, Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
There's so many still wondering how it's in. God can't wait. Jesus can't wait any longer, because he put that word above his very name. God put his word above his very name. And Jesus can't do nothing. He can't change the time. He can't change nothing. But you and I can change up the road here, saying, if you don't do this, that, and the other, you're going to bump right into this judgment seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be removed. It'll just happen. Like we were talking about Bud and Alan and Benjamin Boyd,
mm-hmm.
and all these people God was dealing with. I know he was dealing with them. And guess what? They bumped right into the judgment seat of Christ. And that's a terrible place to fall into the hands of Almighty God, said, "Vengeance mine, I will repay."
Mm-hmm.
I know the Lord was dealing with Alan and Bud. I know he was dealing with Benjamin Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. And he didn't do nothing about it. He just kind of I don't know why he did, because he lost his son because of that.
I don't know that myself, because there were times in my life where I was faced with the judgment of God. I cannot understand how these people were able, were like...
shut God out.
Yeah. It almost looks like they come to a point where they shut God out. But I, in my life, I've come face to face with God. I've come face to face. I either smarten up or I'm going to face the judgment of God.
Exactly.
And you do everything you can to repent, to make sure that you line up with the Word of God. And because that judgment that you're being faced with, if you do not repent of it and make things right between you and God, there is one destiny waiting for you.
See, there's the initial conversion.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as you go journey down the road of life, you're going to mess up and you got to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but after a while, it might become a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you can get away with it, but somewhere you got to go back and repent.
Mm-hmm.
I remember with Moises, right? He lost...
Mm-hmm.
Lost his son because God did not want him to. The Lord did not want him to get involved in this 2-day thing because he had a work for him to do. And for the rest of his life, he lost his son over it. He knew what the consequences will be. And what does he do? He just kind of waters it down. He wants a fellowship with the 2-day crowd, and God did not want him to do that. So then he broke his other son broke his leg. And I sent him that CD when Brother Boy's walking on very thin ice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know when he listened. He might have listened, but he didn't. He didn't take it serious.
Mm-hmm.
That was just some guy.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can't understand, was the Lord not dealing with him throughout this? Or had he hardened their hearts that they don't hear? I know when I'm going through something and somebody tells me something, I take note of it. I put it in my database. Mm-hmm. I put in my memory blanks and not to let it go to sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he asked, is chicken being blooded out of the book of life? Yeah, I could still be blooded out if I don't take serious what the Lord is doing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just continue to go down the food path and not do nothing about my weight and just a year from now I'll be back. If I don't constantly do due diligence in that area, see, that's my battle. Some people have other battles, you know what I'm saying? This is my battle.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do due diligence, I will eventually end up continue to sin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I will eventually be blotted out of the Lamb Book of Life. And just face it. It's just reality. It's just the way it is. God, it says, he that endures to the end. It's a fight right to the finish line. The fight right until you find that place where you can actually now say, I've done everything. Now I can stand. And I know I haven't. I haven't come yet to that place. I had the message last week about that. And spiritually, yeah, the things we fought for, we've come to that place.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the flesh and the devil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh is a war with one another. Mm-hmm. And you gotta be able to bring the flesh under subjection,
mm-hmm.
which I have not yet accomplished that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on it. I can't forget it, you know. I can't quit fighting on it. I can't quit up. I can't give up until I got the victory over this thing. And it's just the way it is. I mean, it's appointed unto men once to die. Well, we raise that when we come born again. But now the journey starts. And it starts, and it doesn't stop until you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't stop until the rapture. It doesn't stop until it's over. When it's over, it's over. The battle goes on, rages on, because you got to endure to the end. Endure means fighting. You can't just erase everything and think it's going to go away. No, you got to fight. We're in this fight. At least we're in the fight, at least. But a lot of people are not.
Mm-hmm.
And at least I am in a fight still. I haven't given up yet. Sometimes I feel like giving up. See, that's what the devil wants to bring to. If I can only get him to give up,
mm-hmm.
then Eventually what you do, you drift from that piece of driftwood. And eventually you're going to do it to the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These are the scriptures. That's why I say, in times like these, you need the Bible. Anybody can say he's a Christian. Anybody can mention Jesus. Anybody can mention God. But I tell you when that word stands before you, you know. Because God is accountable to his word. We're accountable to the word of God. And nobody wants that accountability and that responsibility to be accountable to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You want easy street.
And then nobody,
Christianity.
And nobody really wants to talk about these things, about the battles. They want it to be a rosy kind of Christianity where they're really, you don't go down to the nitty-gritty of yourself. The battles that you face on a day-to-day with the flesh and all these battles. And that's where the devil has wins with a lot of Christians, is because they that part they want to keep hidden, some secret little room as if it doesn't exist. But you have to talk on these things, that they exist and they're real, so that you can deal with them and have victory over them.
There's like this mask of this COVID thing, this vaccine thing. You don't want to talk about this vaccine. What they do, they go and run and take the vaccine, mm-hmm. thinking that thing is going to go away.
Yeah, thinking
that. Instead, they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's going to solve the problem and everything will go back to normal. But things will not go back to normal. You have to find your new normal in this, because that's the signs of the time. And you just have to...
The Lord gave us Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to me years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all I got to do is hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now when this vaccine and this message come up, well, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to drop Psalm 91 and go for this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we're working for pain. They came out with all these safety things, and then they're going to take away our safety bonuses and all this, if we don't wear a vest and all that stuff. And see, it was the beginning of this programming us to drop Psalm 91 and to grab their safety garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a run-in with them. And eventually, the bottom line was, we can't work here under these kind of environment. Either we drop what the Lord has brought me up this far up the road by believing his word. And now all of a sudden you want me to drop my faith in God, mm-hmm. my faith in the word, and accept that, thinking that that vest is going to keep me and that heart that from, will give me safe,
mm-hmm.
keep me from dying. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I told, try to put on a safety when you're downtown Los Angeles and you're surrounded with homeless people and you got to park your truck on the street there so you can get your load off first thing in the morning. What kind of safety? You think wearing your heart at all night is going to save you?
Yeah, see, that's all that communistic anti-God.
Yeah.
When you talk to people, their arguments are all based on taking God out of the equation. When you put God in the equation, there is no argument. There's only one thing. Psalms 91, you're going to make sure you do everything you can to make the Lord the Most High in your life. That he is Lord of Lords in your life. And then these diseases, he will keep these diseases and these pestilence from coming near your dwelling. But if you take God out of the equation, and that's what this communistic regime is all about, is to take God out of the equation, and then you have all these problems. Like, let's say 60 years ago, this COVID would not have been blown out of proportion because people still had faith. There's mm-hmm. still a relatively amount of faith in the land, but because it has totally been taken from the land. And when you talk to people, you will ask them, do you believe in God? Well, I believe there's something out there. And the next person will say, oh, kinda. You know, that's the kind of God they believe in, the kind of God, and there's something out there. Well, how can you make that your Most High? How mm-hmm. can you find safety in something that you're not even sure of? Mm-hmm. You don't even believe. So that's why society has deteriorated. That's why all this vaccine is coming in and people are just falling for it, and they, because God has been taken out of society.
And then when they challenge them, well, we have to die anyway.
Yes.
Like a cop out.
Yeah.
Know?
And not
being able to face up to reality.
That's right. It's all a big cop out. They say, oh, you're going to infect everybody coming in here, like without a mask, as if the mask is going to protect them. That's contrary to scripture.
And you know? We found out that it's those that are vaccinated that contaminate the other things,
mm-hmm.
the other people.
Mm-hmm.
That vaccine has a tendency to contaminate and to mm-hmm. jump on somebody else.
Mm-hmm. But that all originated in America because of them rejecting the prophet of the age, Brother Brenham. And then these things can come in. It's the word was rejected, and then you have no defense.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to say that I can't be able to get to it this week, maybe next week. See, all these people, like the Lord tapped on a job resident,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what they did, they slander us.
Mm-hmm.
They talk evil of us. Well, I kind of feel for them. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, they're not doing it to us, they're doing it to the Lord. And somewhere up the road, there's scriptures, they're going to bump right into it.
Mm-hmm.
What you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll bump into that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do is, you guys are going to have to repent. You're going to have to own up. You're going to have to make this thing right. Because, believe me, I got nothing against them.
Mm-hmm.
But that word, you know, up here, just because that I don't have nothing against them, just because I said, Lord, you said, vengeance mine, I will repay, that doesn't mean they're going to get a pass just because I don't hold it against them.
Mm-hmm.
I've already forgiven them for doing it because it has worked for my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is, up the road here, and man, you need to repent, you guys. Not for my sake, because I got a ticket to glory about all this. You've helped me. But here, up the road, bingo, Jesus comes on the scene. What did you do with Sam? What did you do with Lorraine? I tapped them on the shoulder, and I put this package together, and I asked them to come and work for me. I got a work for you to do. And here you slander them, and you do all kinds of bad things to them. Well, up the road here, what you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're bumping right into it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, and you can see that in the times of Elijah, the spirit behind it. When it was revealed, the spirit was exposed when Jesus came on the scene, and he said there was one widow that Elijah went to, and there was one leper that God healed. And they got mad.
Mm-hmm.
They were angry that Jesus exposed their sin.
Yeah.
What the same, because they did not want to have anything to do with this Elijah, because he's the one that they had this label on him that he actually makes Israel to go in error, and that there is no rain in the land because of Elijah. That he is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit was exposed there when they got angry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing here. What God did back at Brother Brenham, there was people that called what Brother Brenham stood for garbage. And some of them were not even given the grace to repent. They died in their sin. And there's the same thing here. It's usually people that people don't want to have anything to do with, because they're very people convict them of their sin, and they can and if as long as they're out of the way and they condemn them and talk all manner of evil against them, that they can hide their sin and pretend that they're these holy people. But the very people that they're talking against is the people that God has in that hour to lead you into life everlasting, to give you that package, because Jesus portrays himself with boots on the ground, with literal people on the ground. He portrays himself through them. And if you reject those people, you're rejecting Jesus.
Yep. That's what I've seen all week. Like Dorothy, you know, my daughter-in-law, like Sam's wife there. The things she said about you, about don't need your garbage. Boy. Anybody else, you know, back at the Brother Brennan's day, these people died pretty much instantly. But she, up the road, she's bumping. If she don't repent and own up to this thing, she's going to bump into this. What you done to the least of these of mine? You really did it to me. See, we don't hold it against her. We're not going to just sweep it under the rug. Like they want us to sweep it under the rug. You want to look after the kids. Well, you got to make things right before we'll have anything to do with you guys. We're not going to, like, everything is okay when we know very well it is. You can't go and tell what we believe, tell it's garbage. It's you don't want none of this garbage. Well, why do you want us to take care of your kids all of a sudden? What they do, they know they're wrong. But what they do, they want to sweep it under the rug. And they want us to become kind of suckers into their way of thinking, not dealing with things. Like I say, up the road, they're going to bump into it. You're going to bump into it. People bump into things.
That's right.
These people that are not born again, they're going to bump into that the judgment. After this, the judgment. People that are born again, they're going to bump into the judgment seat of Christ. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, whether our things were done good or evil. Nobody gets a pass. This is not a socialistic system.
And then,
that's why they go for this big gaga. Gog and Magog, because no responsibility. The devil, it attracts them. They fall for this Gog and Magog.
And these are the people that Peter talks about, brute beasts. They talk about things that they have no idea of that what God is doing. Like you can take it back to Abraham. They thought he was crazy, going out of this lush, bountiful haven there that they had there along the river there, and he's going out to nowhere land, and those are the things they speak evil of what God is doing in the hour they're living in. They talk evil about Brother Brennan. They talked evil about Brother Jackson, and those are the brute beasts that the Bible talks about.
Call because them a legbird.
They are clueless of what God is doing, and therefore they defile themselves with these things. Because if you're not in touch with God, the natural man will do it. That's why you need to. It is accountable for what a man wants to die, but after that, it's judgment. That's why you have to make sure that you can escape this judgment, and that you make yourself right with God.
And then once you are born again, and you done be baptized in Jesus' name, and you done it all, you still don't have a free pass. You still got to fight this fight, right, and do it to the end. What I'm thinking about all these people that have said bad things about us, slandered us, called it garbage, done everything they possibly could. Well, like I can say, like Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. And then the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So God, what God does, he works in their hearts and their spirit. And he's trying to get them to come to a place to own up. And if he can, then eventually they'll bump into that judgment seat of Christ. And if they're not born again, they'll just automatically disintegrate. But that's what I'm seeing. You can't change it. You can't make things that are written as if they weren't written. Somewhere you're going to have to come up to the judgment seat of Christ. Somewhere you're going to have to deal with these issues.
Someday you're going to be faced with them,
Like Landmark, they had Ted McKay and Brother Jack, if they had any respect for Brother Jack, they would have not let him come in. He invited himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Roy Mims, you know, he claims to be an evangelist and claims to be born again. Now, here in this hour, it's all about recognizing Brother Brennan and recognizing Brother Jackson.
Yeah.
More important, Brother Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brother Brennan, he had a lot of indications, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Brother Jackson, you have to accept him by faith that he is continuing on where Brother, that angel is speaking out to Brother Jackson. And if you have a reverence and a respect for that,
mm-hmm.
when Brother Jackson dealt with Stroman and with Tim McKay, if you have a revelation of Brother Jackson, you're not going to go up there and try to prove things behind. Because you're trying to prove things behind that angel.
See, that's what I could never understand about Roy Mims, is the fact that down at Faith Assembly, well, number one, I always had a problem as he wanted to go and thought he could do better behind Brother Jackson down in Norway. I always questioned that part. Does he not know who was behind Brother Jackson? That was my question. Did he not see the voice behind the man?
Mm-hmm. Apparently did
he not see the anointing behind the man? And then when the Faith Assembly, when the church separated there,
yeah.
he was preaching a message. When there was separation going on, he was preaching reconciliation. It was like,
he was out of touch.
What is going on here? Like, that's Mims. Like, everything should be, everything's all good and well. He always said, don't worry about it. It's all going to be taken care of. That's not scriptural. That's not,
no.
If you've done all you can, then you stand. And that's not when separation is on. What do? You make sure you're right with God to know where you're going. And then, somehow, he was able to find grace to get back on again, because he preached a message down in Moncton. It always looks to me like the ship was already leaving the dock,
yeah.
down at Faith Assembly, and he was there preaching a message, reconciliation, and the ministries were already getting away from Ellen, mm. from Bud, because of their wrong teaching. And for somehow he was left standing on the dock, but somehow he got back on the ship again by the grace of God.
Yeah.
By the message he preached down in Moncton. But I always wonder sometimes where that guy is really at.
I thought to myself when he did that, you gamble once too often.
Mm-hmm.
You gamble.
Mm-hmm.
You shout at it. What does that chat mean? What does it mean?
That I'd say gambling.
Like gambling with the Word of God.
Yeah.
Gambling with God. He's,
yeah. Mm-hmm. He's, gambling with his salvation.
Yeah,
really.
And he'll do it once too often.
Uh-huh.
And he somehow got back in again.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's like, it's like he's neither here nor there. He can't take a stand. See, that's where people are in this truth. Because of family, friends, they couldn't take a stand. But to me, what is more important, that you know that you've done everything you can do to stand and to make sure that you're right with God, because without that, there is no life. Without that, you're dwelling in fear. You're dwelling in uncertainty. You're dwelling in all these, like you're falling off the edge kind of thing.
That's See, after that Faith Assembly episode, he got on it again.
Yes.
Then
I said he got back in the ship.
He got on the ship again.
Mm-hmm.
But see, right on the heels of that, here comes another episode.
Yes.
And with that Davis thing,
mm-hmm.
you're going to believe the 2 days are done? And here he's doing the very same thing. And nobody's holding him to account over there by that thing. He was held to account. But here, nobody seems to hold him to account except me. So he called me up one day and daughter-in-law dying. I don't know what good it'll do. I needed to pray for him, see if there's anything he can do. And the Lord showed me the whole picture with them. And I told him. Mm-hmm. I said, Roy, you're controlling that cancer. Mm-hmm. The minute you stand up for truth, the cancer dies. Mm-hmm. The minute you compromise, the cancer takes over. And you know very well, we're not in the two days are not done. And yet, you hang out with the two-day crowd. Mm-hmm. So I said, you're controlling that cancer. And then eventually she did die. Mm-hmm. But see, now, when he did that, I thought, well, you gamble once too often. Mm-hmm. I think he gambled once too often. As far as I'm concerned, he's pretty much toast. Because he doesn't really, when you listen to him, he doesn't really say nothing. Then he goes back to the Pentecostals and stuff like that. And he preaches in their churches.
I could never understand that part.
I can't even go talk to these people that have a different view. Mm-hmm. That they don't listen to preach. See, it's not that.
It's not that easy. It all boils down to this: if you seek to gain your life, you're gonna lose it. If you're going to lose your life for the sake of the Word of God, you're going to gain it. Because in the end, you're the one who's going to lose out. And that's what you see with these preachers, because they wanted to have this, they wanted to keep on preaching, or they wanted to keep this and that and the other, be connected to this group and be connected to this group. That is all part of not wanting to lay down your life or lose it.
Or they get a paycheck or something. At least they get paid a little bit.
It's all narrows it down in that verse. And in the end, you're going to lose it anyway. But if you lose it for the sake of the Word of God, you're going to gain it. And the Lord has blessed us. And if you're right with God, and you can go to sleep at night having peace and joy that you've done it all to stand, there's no price tag on that.
Spiritually, we've done it all. Mm-hmm. We fought this fight right up to now. It's just a little bit of the flesh to put underneath so that the spirit man can be more active. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we pretty much fought all these battles for truth's sakes, you know. Mm-hmm. Now with just a few more humps. And we've done everything, spiritually speak. Like as far as truth goes, you know what I'm saying? We don't know what else more you can do. Now all we do is the fasting thing and get that behind us. And then we'll be on after the races. No one else is there left. We stood for the truth. As the scripture said, we connected right back to that. When John turned around, he saw Jesus standing there. We're connecting with that right through the whole grace age. We're interconnected. And we're right here. Brother Jackson goes off the scene. We write the test. And we're continuing on. Things that we taught. We're continued out in them. And there's more coming, you know, but we're not going to manufacture something. And there has come more. We've seen a lot more things than Brother Jackson ever thought of seeing. And we know that Brother Jackson, by having the vision or the dream about the minefield, when I saw that ore in there, we know that not everything Brother Jackson said is scripture. So that gives us the right to go back to the scripture and to check out with the scripture. We know that rapture is not right, the way he put it. We know the ministry will not see eye to eye because the scripture doesn't back it up. But he left it up there for people that they don't fall asleep. That you still got to be on the ball. You can't take what he said verbatim and expect, like, it's like taking that vaccine, thinking that thing will go away. They say everything that, they believe everything Brother Jackson said, thinking they don't have no responsibility to check it out themselves.
That's,
you know,
why it says continue thou on. Always continue on. But always remember the things you've been taught. You cannot stray away from that channel, the star.
Mm-hmm. and then you take it back to the Word. Yeah, we've been taught the ministry was the eye to eye. We've been taught the rapture is before the week, but you take it back to the Scripture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see the really. Like now, if we were lazy and we're just complacent, we would just go along with the crowd. Just take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Just wear the mask. That's what it's coming to. But the spiritual types are natural.
Yeah.
First, the spiritual people, they have to drop it. Well, we won't drop it. We won't accept the fact that Biden is president.
Mm-hmm.
Other people accept it already. Talk to 2024. There is no 2024.
Mm-hmm.
You better deal with this one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're never going to see a 2024.
That's what my main focus is. With this conversation here, I know it's all shut up and everything. We go at it again, I don't know. Somewhere up the road, people bump into it. They're going to bump into it. I can't help it. I'm trying to help you guys to own up, fix things up, repent before it's too late, because you're going to bump into it. God can't change it. Jesus can't change His Word. And the angels can't change it. We can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to bump into it. There's time. Time comes. And up here, just up the road here, the grace age is shut down and you'll be left outside.
Mm-hmm.
Wish you would have done something. You can still do something now. That's what I'm trying to say, really, at the end of it. You're going to bump into your issues if you don't deal with them.
Exactly.
I'm going to bump into my issues.
Yeah.
I got to deal with my issues. Now somewhere, you run out of time to deal with them. You got to deal with them while you still can, while mm-hmm. there's still grace.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere up the road, they can scream and holler all they want. They'll have passed that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That point where you're going to bump right into it. You're going to crash it. And then that storm will boom, grind into powder.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
That's the law of the short one, I'm trying to say. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment everybody has an appointment with death. Now Jesus came on the scene. Now everybody has an appointment. What are you going to do with Jesus? If Jesus were to come, that scripture would have pertained for every human being that's born. You got an appointment to die. That's it. And then the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but Jesus can, now that terminates that one. Now you accept the Lord. Now there's other scriptures that you have to fulfill, you know? It's not, now you end up at the judgment seat of Christ. It's still accountability, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You still have to be accountable to your actions, to what you're doing. And that's basically the long and the short of it. Somewhere up the road, you're going to bump into the judgment seat of Christ. If you are born again, you're not born again. I doubt whether she's even born again, because that gospel thing, that's not being born again.
Mm-hmm. Like they claim they have this experience.
It's a charismatic experience.
Uh-huh. And
you analyze it.
Mm-hmm. Even that Jared from Miami, he said he's got this experience, you know, something entered into him where...
Well, the devil.
Mm-hmm. So, it's so this world is laden with deception.
It's that angel of light. He knows when a person is kind of lightheaded and...
Mm-hmm.
The devil knows when a person is vulnerable
yeah.
for that entering in thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. That was one of my biggest mistakes. When the Lord saved me, I was so into the Spirit. I thought everything, every voice is from the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually what the devil one did, what he does, he makes you believe it's the Lord when it's Him speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why now I'm so far into the Word, I don't do nothing without the Word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fall for this charismatic stuff, this Jesus stuff, and this God stuff, and all that stuff. It has to be, in times like these, you need the Bible. That's what you need more than anything in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
To stabilize you, to keep you on track. Because the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Jesus can be anything. God can be anything. But see, we're in camaraderie because we put that Word
mm-hmm.
above our reputation. God, we're in camaraderie with God because He put that Word above Himself. above his name. Mm-hmm. And Jesus did too when he went to the garden. That word was more important. Mm-hmm. So we have a kinfolk thing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not there yet, anyway. I'm not. Still chipping away.
You always have to chip away.
This is something else.
I don't think you'll fully ever arrive, because that's when you lay down your weaponry. You keep fighting the battle.
If we get the weight down, we still have to maintain it. Mm-hmm. Like you always say, it's one thing to get it down. Mm-hmm. But that seems to be my battle. I don't know if your battle is that great. The same battle. Your biggest battle is me. Battling me, trying to get me up. And that's probably the bigger battle mm-hmm. you've ever fought. Mm-hmm. And that's my battle. Once you get the weight down, to maintain it, that's going to be the battle. That's actually a big battle. Just kind of eat what's good, what's healthy for you. Mm-hmm. Well, for some of that, should be no problem. Man, I love it. Just eat to exist. Mm-hmm. People go to bump into things. If they don't deal with it, they'll bump into it. So it's better to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Why can't you just repent and fix it up and then
swallow the pride and just like Naaman had to do. He had to swallow his pride and he wanted healing more than he wanted his pride, I guess. And that's the way a lot of people do. They want to spend eternity separated from God, not being part of that great eternal spirit, and be part of life everlasting, then they're going to be faced with judgment. But who would not want to do everything they can here in this life to make sure that they have an expected end?
Father, we just had a conversation around your word. I pray you would give us grace to always walk before you in a humble manner, Lord. Repent of our wrongdoings, Lord. Always give us grace to be humble and to be able to own up and to be able to repent and to be able to make things right, Lord, where we mess up. I just pray for those people that are outside of your grace, that they'll somehow that you work them over, Lord, and they'll find that place to repent. They'll realize, it'll give them a spirit of remorse and a spirit of repentance, Lord. Because once it's over, it's over. And we got nothing against nobody. We're just trying to keep our head above the water. We've been on out to do this job. We got no other option. And that's why we leave. Your word says, vengeance mine, I will repay. We can't take vengeance in our own hand. Because it's you, Lord, that's working on their heart, trying to get them to a place of repentance. Let me just pray you'll take what's been said, use it for your glory. Most of all, give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Like that lady that Jesus gave a tour for hell. Down in hell, they don't conceal it anymore. It's all out in the open. Like here, people try to conceal their wrong. And that's the devil behind it. Because he does not want you to make things right. Because he wants you to go into the darkness. And down in hell, they're already there. Then there's no more need for the devil to try to do everything he can to make sure that you don't correct and to repent. That's why just ignore these things. Pride and all these things of the flesh, put them aside and repent and own up, and then there is no more problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like you say, one day you're going to bump into them. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So. See, that's why the Bible talks ewige Schande.
Mm-hmm.
Ewige Schande, wenn man hält. Over there, everything is exposed. It'd be to your shame, you know?
Mm-hmm. To your shame, yeah.
They'll make fun of you.
Yeah.
It's all out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you deal with it, repent of it, own up to it, then
Yes, for diese drei Buben fällt.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The flesh. I still fight with the flesh. I'll be honest. I'm pretty much on the word, eh?
Mm-hmm. I'd say.
We pretty much separate ourselves from all these. Mm-hmm. We have no ambition to be somebody. We're just doing our job. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we're doing this here thing. Mm-hmm. Just a, it's a job, eh? Mm-hmm. And, but Paul said, well, you got to do it. You're going to have to do the job anyway, so why not live up to it, you know? Mm-hmm. As Paul said, if I preach, Paul had a job. Now he's checking himself. Now, if I preach to you and don't do it, then become a castaway. Mm-hmm. Well, I can say the same thing. Mm-hmm. If Paul becomes a castaway, how much more us? We're all in the fight. Yeah, I'd like to say, you'll always be in the fight. Mm-hmm. Once I get this thing down, I'll still be fighting. Mm-hmm. It's always fight. But it's a different fight than